Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Sukkah Chav Gimel. We begin at the Mishnah, which is on Chav Beis, Amud Beis, towards the bottom. Seven lines from the bottom. It says the Mishnah, Oysa Sukkasai B'Reisha Agola. If one positions his Sukkah on top of a wagon, Oy B'Reisha Svina, or on top of a ship, Kishera, a Sukkah is valid, V'Oylina B'Yantav, and you can actually use this Sukkah on Yantav. Says Rashi on the first wide line, although a sukkah on top of a wagon is portable, it's mobile, it's not positioned in place, it's okay. Or he positioned it b'reisha sfina, shumokim gevoya shel sfina, on top of the high part of the ship. V'hayam gevoya ma'od, or there's a girsa v'hu gevoya ma'od, so the sukkah is positioned very high up. Vein harim makifin, and there were no mountains surrounding the area to protect it from the gusts of wind. Varuach sheileta sham vaykrosa, lots of winds going on there which might demolish that sukkah. Still, it's okay. Kshira, the diras arai sagiba, because even a temporary dwelling is sufficient when it comes to sukkah. So although it's on a wagon which is moving around, on a ship where it's susceptible to gusts of winds, a sukkah is fine. Va'ilna biyantiv. And you can use it on Yantav. What's the chiddush here? It says Rashi, Yomishum de Boyel Misna Seifa Ve'ein Oilin. Since in the Seifa, in the next case, the Mishnah says you cannot use the Sukkah on Yantav. Speaking of it's on an animal, it's on a tree. Tana Reisha Ve'oilin. That's why Mishnah begins with the words Ve'oilin LaBiyantav in contrast to the next case in the Mishnah. Continues the Mishnah. What about Bereisha Ilan? He built a Sukkah on top of a tree. Oyal Gabi Gomel on top of a camel. Kshera, a sukkah is technically fine, but you can't use it on Shabbos or Yontif. Ve'ein eilun la b'yomtiv, and the reason is because Chachamim disallowed use of a tree or an animal on Shabbos or Yontif, concerned that he might actually rip off a branch, rip something off the tree while he's there, or if he's using an animal, he might go ahead and rip off a branch from a tree to use it as a to drive his animal. So this sukkah is technically kosher, but cannot be accessed on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Now the Mishnah will now stipulate which sukkah, which tree sukkah is problematic, which one is not. It's only a problem if it's primarily supported by that tree, but suppose it's supported by some man-made posts as well, which provide primary support for this sukkah, then it's not considered like you're actually accessing the tree and you can actually use the sukkah on Shabbos or Yontif. Shtayim b'ilan. Suppose two sides of your sukkah being supported by that tree, v'achas b'di adam, and only one side being supported by a post, which was man-made. Oy shtayim b'di adam v'achas b'ilan, or two sides of the sukkah are supported by man-made posts, and only one side leaning on the tree, kshera. Once again, the sukkah is kosher for weekday use, but ve'ein eilun la b'yantav cannot be accessed on yantav, because it's deemed to be using a tree. Shalosh b'di adam ba'achas b'ilan. However, if on three sides the sukkah is supported by man-made poles, ve'achas b'ilan, only on one side, leaning on the tree, kshera. Now the sukkah is not only kosher for weekday use, v'oilin l'biyantiv, it can be used on Shabbos and Yantiv as well. Zakla, because this is the rule, kol she'inot l'ilan. If the sukkah is positioned in a manner where, if theoretically the tree would be removed, v'choyla lamad b'fnei atzman, the sukkah would still be self-sustainable, self-supported by the man-made posts, then we say k'shera v'oilin l'biyantiv. Let's go back to Rashi on Chavez and Chavez. So it would be the sixth wide line here on the bottom. Bereisha ilan, so he put a sukkah on a tree. Tikein meishavi bereisha, va'asa sham mechitzes eschach. He supported the sukkah on the tree and added some walls and schach. Ksheira l'chaylo shel moyed, it's good for weekday use. Va'af, listen to the chiddush. Va'af b'yamtiv, even on yamtiv, avav ra'adala, yatzi lechavasa. Although he's not meant to use this sukkah on Yom Tov, should he choose to go up there anyways, and be over this at the Rabbanon, he's going to be yoytze the mitzvah min ha-Torah. ask the Mefarshim what happened to Mitzvah Haba Ba'Avera, which appears to apply even by Yisad Rabbanon. We discussed Tevel Mid Rabbanon and Gemara Pesachim elsewhere. Even when something is only also Mid Rabbanon, should a person choose to go ahead to be Yaitse Mitzvah Min HaTorah, we apply the concept of Mitzvah Haba Ba'Avera. A mitzvah which is done by way of an Avera is not valid, even if the Avera is only Mid Rabbanon. So the Mefarshim answer here, it's different because it's not like the Tevel Mid Rabbanon with the Chafetz is Aser. It's not something inherently deficient within the Chafetz itself. Rather, it's more of a personal Isser. Don't use a tree, don't use an animal on Shabbos or Yontif. So it's a personal restriction, and therefore, should he go ahead with it and be over that personal Isser, he's still going to be Yotze, because again, the Sukkah itself is not deficient. There's nothing wrong with the Sukkah itself, even the Rabbanon. Therefore, Rashi says he's Yotze de Chayvase. Continues Rashi, Ve'ein Oyel B'Yontif. However, this Sukkah should not be used on Yomtiv. The Gozer B'Rabbanon. Rabbanon applied Gzeira. Ve'ein Oyel B'Ilan. Ve'ein Mishtamshin B'Yotze. What is that meant to climb up on a tree or even use a tree on Shabbos or Yontiv? Shem Yitlish. He might go ahead and rip off a branch. The famous story with the stipler of Chaim Kanievsky's father, who was sent off to a labor camp in Siberia, and they had guard duty. So every hour they would switch the guards, and came his turn to do guard duty. It was Friday night, freezing cold winter, and they had this heavy fur coat which the guards would use during that hour. Otherwise it would be impossible to survive the sub-zero temperatures out there. Problem is, they used to hang it on a tree. So the fellow used to finish his shift, he'd hang the coat on a tree, and the next fellow would come by and pick it off and use it for the next hour. Stipel, being mindful of this problem, I meant to use a tree on Shabbos, he specifically asked the fellow who's going to do guard duty before him to please just drop the coat on the floor so he doesn't have to actually use a tree. Of course, the fellow not really follow instructions. He comes out and he sees the coat sitting on the tree. Koch nefesh mamish. I mean, he freezes to death. He says, "You know what? I'm not going to survive the hour like this. But at least let me just delay 5 minutes. I can make it. So I'll leave it on the tree, and in 5 minutes I'll take it off." After 5 minutes, he says, "You know what? It passed pretty quickly. Let me do it another 5 minutes. 10 minutes, I'll manage." 10 minutes turn into 15 minutes, and he says, "Okay, a quarter of the hour, let me just do a third of the hour, 20 minutes. To a third of the hour, he went another 5 minutes, it's already half hour, wow." He says, "You know what, I'm mamish freezing to death, I'm an icicle. But another 5 minutes, I could make it. Another five minutes, it's already 55 minutes, he can barely, he's frozen to death." He says, "You know what, I got to 55, I'm not going to take the thing off the tree, another 5 minutes." Hours up, he ran back in, he was piece of ice. In fact, they say it later on, he used to say that his hearing loss, he was hard of hearing, and he attributed it to that story. So another five minutes until he got to the full hour. The Rebbeim and Yeshivas used the story to inspire the kids. You know, you're not going to do the whole thing necessarily, but just a little bit. 5 minutes you can handle. Take 5 minutes at a time. Look what happened. He survived the full hour. So you're not meant to use a tree on Shabbos, and he was Mason Nefesh for this. Issur Midrabbanan. Says the Mishnah, but not in all cases is the a tree sukkah a concern. It's only if it's primarily being supported by that tree, it needs it for its support. Shtayim be'ilon v'achas b'dei adam. From two sides, the sukkah is being supported by the tree. Samach karkis ha-sukkah ruba be'ilon. Mostly, the sukkah is being supported by the tree. V'asa sviva b'rish ilon shtei mechitzes. And then he added some mechitzes around the sukkah. V'achas asa b'dei adam. And only on one side is a sukkah being supported by a man-made post. What happened was he had a post going up from the floor below, a man-made post, and he supported the karka of the sukkah partially on that post, and the post continues up, and it continues upwards to complete the mechitza around the sukkah. So it's only partially being supported by man-made post. That's problematic. Or even if on two sides the sukkah is being supported by a man-made post, but only on one side on the tree. In both cases, we say, if the tree would be removed, you would have a collapsed sukkah. It cannot support itself merely by the two man-made posts. It cannot be accessed on Yontov or Shabbos, because that, in effect, is considered using the tree. Says the Gemara on the third line from the top, Mani Mas Nisan. Who is the Mishnah? Whose Shita is being reflected in our Mishnah? A Mishnah which allows you to build your sukkah on a wagon or on a ship. Rabbi Akiva. The Sandia Oisa Sukkase Beresha Sfina. One builds a sukkah on top of his ship. And Tosis adds the words Beresha Agola as well, because they go hand in hand. Agola is mobile, a Sfina is susceptible to the winds. Rabban Gamliel Poisel. He says it's possible. A sukkah needs to be a diras kva, as we had back on the Abzayin Amud Beis. It has to be something permanent. It can't be sitting on a wagon which is moving around, nor on a ship where it's going to be susceptible to the elements. Rabbi Kiva Machshir, because he holds even a diras arai is considered a sukkah. So if it's moving around on a wagon, a mobile sukkah is okay. And likewise, a sukkah on a ship, despite the fact that it's going to be exposed to the elements, it's still considered a temporary dwelling and is kosher. In fact, it was an incident involving Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Gamliel with a houseboat. Ma'ase b'Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Kiva, there was an incident involving those two. Shoyim boim b'svina, were traveling on a boat, and it was sukkahs. Amad Rabbi Kiva v'asa sukkah b'resha svina. Rabbi Kiva went ahead and he built a sukkah on the ship. What happened? Lamacha, the next day, Noshva Ruach Vakrata. A wind came along, a strong sea gust, and collapsed his sukkah. Amalai Rabbi Gamliel. Sir Gamliel turns to Rabbi Kiva and he says, Akiva, Heichon Sukkah, where's your sukkah? He was making a point. Look, a sukkah which cannot withstand the sea winds, that's not a sukkah. So we see clearly that there's machlokes between the two regarding a houseboat. Now, not in all cases, says the Gemara, is there a concern. Meaning, if the sukkah is strong enough to withstand your typical sea wind, then all agree that's okay. Because in its current habitat, in its current environment, it can endure. Why wouldn't it be fine? Says Abaye, Omar Abaye, I'm going to present to you the machlokes. When does this discussion or this concern apply? Amar Abaye, the Kuliyam all agree, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Gamliel, when the sukkah cannot even withstand the dry land, wind on dry land, which is less stormy than the sea winds. Heicha de'eino yechoyle lamed beruch metzuya de'abasha. If this house boat, this house sukkah cannot withstand a ruch metzuya, a common wind found on land, Loi klumi, and it's nothing at all. Rashi says, "Da filu diras arai lo yahavya." Right? The concept is that a sukkah structure has to withstand something, and the rule of thumb is it has to withstand the commonly found one, the ruach mutsuya. Right? Otherwise, it's not a structure. The question is going to be whether we follow Ruach Metzuya found on dry land, which is less ferocious than Ruach Metzuya found on the sea, or do we follow the strong gusts of wind found at sea? We follow that Ruach Metzuya. That's going to be the question here. But says Abaye, if this sukkah sitting on his ship is so flimsily built that it can't even withstand a common dry land wind, Ruach Metzuya de Abasha, then all agree it's possible. It's not even considered a temporary dwelling. That's pashut. On the other hand, says Abaye, Yechoyle lamed b'she'enu metzuya de'abasha, but let's say it's strong enough to endure even an uncommon dry land wind, which Rashi says is equal to the common sea gusts of wind. That's just the way it is. The common sea gust is similar in nature to the uncommon dry land wind. So if he could withstand that, kuli amale pliga dekshera, according to all shittas, even Gamliel will maintain that it's kasha, because it could withstand the winds at sea as well. Ki pligi, when then is there machlekes? But the chaylo lamed beruch metzui dabasha. This sukkah found on a ship can't theoretically withstand the common ruach of yabasha, of dry land, but cannot endure the uncommon dry land wind, which equals in ferocity the sea winds. According to another Gersa, it would be same thing. So this sukkah found on a ship can theoretically withstand the ruach metzuya of yabasha, which isn't as strong and ferocious as your sea gusts of wind. Oh, now we have a shiloh. Does it work? Because theoretically, on dry land, it would be considered an enduring structure. So for Diras Arai, that's enough. Theoretically, it can provide personal shelter. On the other hand, perhaps you have to follow the current location. This sukkah is at sea. And it has to withstand sea winds. So that's the machlekes. Rav Gamliel Savar, sukkah diras kvaba inan. Sukkah needs to be a permanent dwelling and has to follow, has to conform to its current environment, current location. Since it cannot withstand the common ruach of yam, it's not a sukkah. Why? See, Tosis back on the Chaf Aleph and Beis, we mentioned this the other day. Tosis says, really we have a kasha. Why would it work at all according to Rabbi Gamliel? You see, a sukkah on an agola doesn't work because it's a mobile sukkah. So why is a houseboat different? Tosis says there is a difference. Because if it's on a sfina, it's different. Shani sfina d'urcha b'hachi. A houseboat is a common thing. It's a houseboat. That's the way it's meant to be. The fact that it floats around does not... We don't consider it a moving sukkah. That's the way it's meant to be. It's established. It's firmly established in place. A houseboat is meant to float around on water. It's not like a sukkah sitting on a wagon. So if it's on dry land, it's meant to be planted on the ground, not meant to be moved around in a wagon. But if it's sitting on a boat, that's a derech to make a houseboat. That's considered kvius. Oh, but Rabbi Gamliel says, look, I agree that a houseboat is fine, provided it's a houseboat. In order for it to be considered a proper structure on that boat, it has to withstand the sea elements, right? To give it a din of kavua, it's considered a proper structure at sea. It has to serve as a sea a structure. It has to withstand the sea winds. Otherwise, says Rav Gamliel, you don't have a sukkah. So although theoretically it could withstand the winds biyabasha, it's not enough to give it a din of diras kva at sea. What is Rabbi Akiva Savar? Sukkah diras arai binan. A sukkah needs only to be a temporary dira. Vekiven diyichod olamid beruach mitzui diyabasha kshir. Since this sukkah can withstand the winds on dry land, so theoretically it can provide shelter. As far as a diras arai, that's enough. We view it as a personal place of shelter, although it's not an established structure at sea. It's not seaworthy. But since it can still serve biyabasha, for sukkah it's enough. So we have three categories regarding a sukkah boat. If it cannot withstand even the ruach metzuyah of the yabasha, that's not a structure. If it can endure even the sea gusts of wind, according to all shittas, it's okay. Even if you need a diras kva, this is a diras kva. It's a houseboat. Problem is, in a case where it can theoretically endure the ruach of yabasha, but not the one in the yam. Says Rabbi Akiva, diras arai, it's enough. Says Rabbi Gamliel, diras kva means has to conform to current conditions. Has to be considered a structure as per sea. Well, in this case, it doesn't. Continues the Gemara, oyal gavi gomo. So you put a sukkah on a camel. Mishnah says it works, but you shouldn't use it on Yom Tov. Masnisen mani Rabbi Meir. Apparently, our Mishnah is in line with Rabbi Meir's shita only. This sanya, ha'isa sukkah oyal gavi behema. this fellow built a sukkah on a behemoth, which he can only access during weekdays, not on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Rabbi Meir Machshir, according to Rabbi Meir, it's fine. Rabbi Yehuda Poisel, he says it's possible. My time with Rabbi Yehuda, why would it be possible? Amakroa chaga sukkah is tas l'choshivas yamim. We learn from here. You meant to make a seven-day dwelling. 7 days of sukkahs are regarded like one unit, one residency. In which case, sukkah is only good if it can serve consistently throughout all 7 days of Yom Tov, whether Shabbos, Chol HaMoed, or Yom Tov itself. Sukkah ru'i l'shiva, shema sukkah. Sukkah which is suitable for all 7 days, including Shabbos and Yom Tov, is called a sukkah. Sukkah she'eni ru'i l'shiva, as opposed to a sukkah which is not ru'i for all 7 days. For instance, an animal sukkah. You can't access it on Yom Tov itself and on Shabbos itself. Lo yishma sukkah. It's not considered a sukkah. For a mayor, how does a mayor respond? He says, I agree in concept. It has to be a sukkah roi for all 7 days. Hanami midaraisa mechsechazia. This sukkah perched on a camel, minat tera, is perfectly fine. For a banu de gazerba. It's only din the Rabbanah that prevents you from using it on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So that won't diminish its status. Not Torah, it's a full-fledged sukkah. And since it's only Xerah de Rabbanah, don't use an animal because it might pull off a branch to drive the animal. It doesn't take away the sukkah status, not Torah. So what does Rabbi Yehuda do? How does he respond to this claim? So you may remember at the end of Masechta Sukkah, we had a similar Gemara regarding Shavuos Sa'edis. So he approaches his friend, he says, look, I need you to help me, to testify on my behalf. And the fellow denies that he knows he has any information that might benefit his friend, and he imposes a Shavuos Sa'edis, to that effect. And the Gemara tells us, even if this fellow who accepted upon himself the oath actually can benefit his friend, he knows Edus. Problem is, he's puzzled Edus midrabon. He's a gambler. In which case, even if this fellow should have approached Bezdin, they wouldn't have accepted him. They wouldn't have believed him. He's puzzled Edus midrabon. We say he's potter from any Shavuos Edus penalty. Why? So although he's only puzzled Edus midrabon, but practically, his testimony wouldn't provide any benefit because we wouldn't listen to him. See, here we see that a din d'rabbanon, a psalm d'rabbanon can exempt him even from a din ha-Torah. Here as well, says Rabbi Yehuda, you're right. The isra to use an animal is only d'rabbanon, but practically speaking, you know, it's like a ruch metzuya. Rishonim say it's like a ruch metzuya. We know that it's expected. Every sukkah has a Shabbos, has a Yom Tov. So we know in advance that for a portion of this Yom Tov, you will not be able to access the sukkah. Be it minat Torah, be it midrabban, it's irrelevant. Practically speaking, the sukkah is not going to function throughout full 7 days. It's not called a sukkah ru'i l'shiva. So what does Rav Meir hold? So apparently Rav Meir holds that even though practically you can't access the sukkah, but there's nothing wrong with the sukkah per se. It's a personal restriction. I want to say, don't use an animal, don't climb a tree, because you might rip off a branch. It's a personal issur. It's not a deficiency within the chayfets of the sukkah. Some Farshim say that Rameh will hold that every issur the Rabban is not an object-oriented issur. There's nothing wrong with the chayfets itself. Nothing wrong with the sukkah. It's not a sukkah that cannot provide. You may not access that sukkah. You might rip off a branch. So Rameh says, technically speaking, this sukkah is ro'i l'shiva. So although you yourself are restricted from using it, it doesn't take away from the sukkah itself. Technically, the sukkah is real, the shiva min ha-Torah, and it is kosher. So this is where the sukkah was planted on the animal itself. Actually, that's the way Rashi learns. It was put on the animal itself. Tosis disagrees. He says, if it would be on the animal itself, then you have another problem on your hands. It's a mobile sukkah. We're according to Rabbi Yehuda, who needs diras kva, it wouldn't work to begin with. So Tosis learns a bit differently. He says that actually the schach was positioned independent of the animal. schach was supported by four poles on the, which were positioned on the floor itself. The schach is not leaning on the animal, so it's not considered a mobile sukkah. The schach determines its mobility. The schach is not mobile. However, it was the floor of the sukkah which was supported by the animal. So you place an animal beneath the floor. That's the case according to Tosfos. So you don't have the issue of mobility, but you have accessibility issue. We can use the sukkah on Yom Tov. So Rabbi says it's not a sukkah Ruyah L'Shiva, whereas Rabbi says we still consider it a Ruyah L'Shiva and it's kosher. Now we're going to have a third case of using a behemoth for your sukkah. In this case, neither the schach nor the floor is actually being supported by the behemoth. Rather, also a behemoth from the sukkah. What happened was he used an animal as a wall for the sukkah. He's missing a wall. He brought over an animal to fill the gap. So the schach and the floor fully supported by the aretz below. There's no concern of mobility or accessibility. It's a question of whether you can use an animal as a wall. Also, lebehima doifin lesukah. Once again, we have a machlokes, a mayor who is poisel, because you cannot use an animal as a doifin. Rabbi the Machsher says perfectly fine. Rabbi Meir would say as follows: Kol davar sheyesh bo ruach chaim, any living being cannot be used for a mechitza. Ein oisin oisay loy doifin lesukah. That's our case. Loy lechi lemavi. So I post placed at the entranceway to the mavi to create that separation between the mavi and shesurabim. Cannot use an animal for that purpose. Nor v'lei pasim libirois, can't place an animal instead of the corner post placed around your be'er or shesurabim to create that shesayachid impression. You can't use an animal for that. V'lei goydel l'kever, nor can an animal be used as a cover, as a goydel, as a cover for a coffin, which has special halachas of tumah. You can't use an animal for that. Mishum, Rabbi Yisak Lili Amru. This was said in the name of Reisak Lili. Another halacha, af ein koisrin olav geti nashim, nor can use an animal to write a get on it. My time at the Rav Meir, indeed, what is the time of Rav Meir? It does not allow use of an animal for the sukkah. We have two pshatim. Abayir Omar, Shema Thomas. Practically speaking, the animal might die, in which case you're going to lose your wall and miss out on your sukkah. Rav Zera Omar, Shema Tivrach, the animal might run away. So it's either dying or running away. Now, is there any difference in nafkamina between these two pshatim? Says it more like this. Bepil kosher. Supposed he used a large animal, an elephant, a tied elephant, for his sukkah. Kuli amale pligi. All agree. Abaye and Reb Zera agree. There's no concern. Even Reb Meir would allow use of this animal. Why? Because the inami mice, even if the pil would die on Yom Tov, yesh b'nevlosa yud, its carcass still has a height of 10 tefachim, it's a huge animal. And the doifin will still be valid. And since he's tied up, there's no concern of escaping. So in this case, certainly there's no concerns whatsoever. Ki pligi b'pil she'en akashim. There's a discussion between Abaye, who gave us the reason of Shema Thomas, and of Zera, who's concerned about escaping. That discussion, that machlokes, would apply in a case of pil she'en kasher. You have an untied elephant. L'manda v'shama tamas lechashinam. According to Abaye, the concern is death. There's no concern here, because even after misa, he still occupy that same place. L'manda amar gzera shama tiver chashinam. According to Reb Zera, whose concern is escaping, in this case, he's an untied pil. He might run away. Says the Gemara, but l'manda amar gzera shama tamas, even according to Abaye, who's concerned about Misa, well, Necha Shema Tifrach, why would it be he concerned about escaping? So even in this case, we have a large animal, but if he's untied, sure, death won't pose a concern, but escaping will. Says more, you're right. Elu Apil She'en Akasher, if it's an untied elephant, Kul Amalei Pligi, all agree there is a concern. Why? Because he might run away. Ki Pligi with Behema Kshur. Let's say you have an ordinary sized Behema, an elephant, a regular animal, and he's tied up. Leman the magzera shema tamas chashin. According to Abaye, concerned is misa, concerned that he might die, in which case he'll drop down and you lose your mechitza. Leman the magzera shema tivrach lechashin. According to Abaye, concern is tivrach. Well, there's no concern because he is tied in place. Leman the magzera shema tivrach Neichu Shama Thomas. What do you mean? According to Reb Zera, are you concerned about escaping? What about Misa? Why aren't you concerned about Misa as well? Misa leishchicha. It's not common that the animal will die, you know, from 1 minute to the next. So that's the conclusion. An animal which has been placed as a doifen, and the animal is tied in place. So according to Reb Zera, there's no concern because it's not going anywhere. According to Abaye, there's a concern because in addition to escaping, there's a concern of Misa. In which case, this doifen will be diminished. Says the Gemara, how can you use this animal according to Reb Zera? Fine, he's tied up. But Ikiravcha de Beni Beni, what about the gap between his legs where there's no machitza? We'll fill it up with some branches. Hutsurashi says palm branches, dafna, branches from a different type of tree. So fill up the gap. In which case, he'll close up the machitz. Vodoma rava. Fine, the animal won't die on him, but perhaps it's going to crouch. So he won't escape. He's tied up. He won't die. Going to observe. Misal leishchicha. He might crouch. Pretty common occurrence. In which case, he's going to diminish the height from 10 tefachim to less. The meticha ba'ashli mileil was speaking that it was stretched up, it was held up, ba'ashli with ropes, mileil from on top, it was held up in position. So you can't drop down through crouch. Oh, so now, let's go back to Abaye. Ulama adama gzer shama tamas. What Abaye, there's a concern about Misa. Well, if you tell me he's held up in position, nami, even according to Abaye, ha meticha ba'ashli mileil, isn't he tied up with ropes? Held up with ropes, so even if he's mace, his nevela will remain in place and you'll have your doifen. So what's the concern according to Abaye? Zimnen demukim bepachas meshloisha. There's a concern that perhaps at times he's going to use the animal in the following context. He'll have his schach, which is 10 tefachim high, being covered with this animal. Now the animal, which is only 7 and a bit high, will be positioned exactly within 3 to the schach. It's going to apply love. Zimnan the muki bepachas meshloisha samach schach. He might position this animal within 3 tefachim of the schach. Hold it up in place. Everything's fine, but v'kiven the mice, but once it dies, kavtsa, it might shrink a bit. In which case, the gap between behemah and schach will now increase from being less than 3 to 3 or more. V'lava datei, you might not pay attention to that. The Rebbe says, Abaye, we're not meant to use this animal, even though it's tied up and filled up and held up in place, because of Misa, which might invalidate the Doifen. Says Rashi on top. We give it the Misa Kafsa. Once it dies, it's Kafsa, Misma Ma'etis, Rutter, it might shrink, Vavali Shloisha. Now your gap between Behemah and Schach is 3 or more. But to lay love, there's no longer love, then can't doifen, and the doifen is not possible. Love that take ain't a nice and lay attack, and it might not pay attention, might not be mindful of the need to fix it. Ain't a nicker, it's not so visible. It's a slight difference, which you might not notice on Yom Tov. So, in conclusion, Rabbi Chalikz, Rameh, Rabbi Yehuda, whether you can use an animal for a doifen, Rameh says no, Rabbi Yehuda says yes, and we have two pshatim in Rabbi Meir. Reb Zera says he might escape. That doesn't apply to an animal which has been tied in place. Abaye says, in addition to escaping, the chashash of Misa, in which case he might shrivel and you might lose your lovod, the mechitza is possible. So according to this approach of Misa, which is Abaye's approach, Rabbi Meir is chashash l'Misa, and Rabbi Yehuda, he's the one who allowed you to use the daifim for the sukkah, is not concerned about sudden Misa. Says the Gemara, but this won't work with another Rameh Rabbi Yehuda, where we seem to see that their shittas have been reversed. Umi Amar Abaye Rameh Chayish L'Misa. Is that so that according to Abaye, Rameh is Chayish V'Sad Misa? Rabbi Yehuda Lo Chayish? Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned? Listen to this Mishnah, Matzanan. Bas Yisrael Shenisis L'Koin. So she's a Kohen's wife, but she's really a Yisraeli. She's a Bas Yisrael. As long as she's married to the Kohen, she has truma privileges. She can eat truma. What happened was, her husband took a trip. Her husband took a long trip. And she's unsure of whether he's still around. And that would allow her to eat truma. Or perhaps he already passed away, in which case, she lost her truma eating privileges. So what's the halacha? Oichelas b'truma b'cheska shukaim. She may continue eating truma with the presumption that her husband is alive. Cheska's chai. Let's assume everything is good and well, and she's still married to him. So we're not concerned about sudden, unannounced death. V'ramin and Allah, we asked Akasha on this Mishnah from another Mishnah where we seem to see that there is a concern about sudden Misa regarding Yabas Yisrael married to a kohen. Here is a gitich. He turns to his wife. He's concerned that, you know, he's leaving on a trip. He's concerned that he might not make it back. He wants to spear his wife from any chalitz or yibum concerns. So they had no kids, and if he dies without kids, he'll have to have chalitz or yibum. So he turns to him and he says, look, hareza gitech, I'm giving you a get, which will be activated when, not now, achas koidem esasi, a short moment before I die. So whenever that happens, the moment before my death, the get will be activated, and you'll be divorced, and you won't have to have yibum as a result of the misa. So now she's constantly in a state of limbo. Right? Remember, she's a Bas Yisrael, married to a kohen. Can she continue eating truma or not? Is this the moment before his death? In which case, I'm divorced and I can't eat truma. Asur lecha b'truma miyad. Says the Mishnah, she must stop eating truma right away. We're concerned about Misa. Perhaps, he'll be mace in a moment's time. In which case, this moment now is Isha Achas before his Misa. When the get becomes activated, she's no longer roi to eat truma. Whereas in the previous Mishnah we learned, there's never a concern about Misa. The person has a chazaka that'll live. So I have a stira. Vamra Abai Lekasha, the answer is, Ha Rabbi Meir, Delechai Shla Misa. Mishnah number one is found Rabbi Meir is not concerned about sudden death. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, Delechai Shla Misa. Mishnah number two is found Rabbi Yehuda who's choishish about sudden death. So this is the exact opposite of the discussion in Sukkah. Rabbi Meir says, "Uchayshish l'misa of the animal. Don't use an animal as a daifin." And Rabbi Yehuda is not chayshish l'misa. Okay, we're going to get to that teretz soon. But in any case, where was Abaye coming from? Where did Abaye find that Rabbi Meir is not chayshish l'misa? He's not concerned about Misa, about things breaking on you, and Rabbi Yehuda is Chayshish L'Misa. This sign we find in the following Mishnah. So it's right before Shabbos, and he just purchased a large quantity of wine from the Kutim, whose Geiris was questionable, and you have to go ahead and take off the Trumas and Masters. Not reliable, right? So you have to take off Trumas and Masters, and he doesn't have that opportunity right now. He doesn't have Kalim, it's right before Shabbos. So we go ahead and we apply the Brera solution. He can go ahead and instigate a process right now, verbally express the Hafrash of Turmas and Maestras, and this process will be pending further completion, further development. Later on, after Shabbos, he'll actually go ahead and separate Turmas and Maestras, and that completion, that completed process will now be applied retroactively to the moment of Erev Shabbos when that process has begun. That's the concept of Brera. It's going to be verified later on and applied retroactively. So how does he go about doing this? Okay, he says like this. The two lugim of the 100 lug that I have, which eventually I'm going to separate. Truma. So right now I'm declaring that those lugim are truma. He doesn't know where they are. But eventually I'm going to separate them. And those lugin are going to be considered truma based on my current expression right now. Asora Masarishan, 10 of the lugin are Masarishan, Tisa Masasheni, 9 are Masasheni, Umechel, Vishoisa Meyad. Divir Rashi learns Mechel means he's Mechel, he transferred the Ketusha of the Masasheni on money. That's something that can be done easily, do it on moment's notice. Doesn't require any Kalim, any effort. Let him do that right now so that he doesn't rely on Brera for the Masasheni. Do the chilul now, and once he did this whole declaration, v'sheisa miyad, he can drink immediately, relying and depending upon his further, upon completing the process further down the road after Shabbos. Divrei Rav Meir. And we're not concerned that, you know, the wine will go missing throughout Shabbos, the container will crack, and the wine will get lost. in which case he'll never come to complete the process. That would be problematic, really a problem, because the whole Truma and Maaser is only Chal based on further development, on future completion. Rameh is not concerned about losing his wine. Let's assume everything will be safe and sound, and he'll come back and complete the Truma and Maaser process, which will be applied retroactively. However, Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Oisrin, they don't allow this process to be implemented because they say, you know what? Something might happen in the interim which will prevent him from actually doing the Breira. He might never come to it. The noid, the container, the leather container with this wine might be Yibaka. We'll see soon that Lashon. It might crack and the wine might flow out. He might lose the whole supply here. In which case, he'll never complete the process. In which case, the Truma Maaser was never activated. Which Rameh is not choshesh for breakage. So this was Abaye's Raya. The Rameh is not choshesh for these types of unforeseen, tragic events. Breakage, Misa. That's why the Isha can continue eating her Truma. With confidence that her husband's still alive. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda is concerned about her husband dying suddenly, Choshesh L'misa, is in line with his Shita by the wine. He's concerned about sudden breakage. Okay, that works. But it's going to be a big stira now on our Sugya and Sukkah, where we find that Rameh says, don't use an animal for your Sukkah. He's Choshesh L'misa. An animal might die on him. Rabbi Yehuda says, no problem, use an animal. What a Choshesh for sudden death. So their opinions have been perfectly reversed. Eifach, says the Gemara. Indeed, let's switch things around. Rabbi Meir is the one who holds Cheshish L'misa. Rabbi Yehuda not Cheshish L'misa. And when Abaye sought to provide a solution to the stira between the two Mishnahs, we had Mishnah number one, Abbas Yisrael can continue eating Truma with confidence. Mishnah number two, she must stop eating Truma right away. Abaye really answered it the other way than we figured. The first Mishnah, who's not concerned about sudden Misa, is Rabbi Yehuda. And the second Mishnah, which seems to be concerned about sudden death, is Rabbi Meir. And indeed, this is very compatible with our Sugi by Sukkah. Rameh is Cheshish L'Misa, Rabbi does not. Eifach, Rameh Cheshish L'Misa, Rabbi the Lech Hashem Misa, the Sandy, as we find by Sukkah. Also, the Behem, a different Sukkah, use an animal for a Sukkah. Rabbi Poisel, Choshesh L'Misa. Rabbi the Mach, not Choshesh L'Misa. Okay, so that works. So the two Mishnahs of Abbas Yisrael, this is Lekoin, eating Truma, is fully compatible with our discussion by Sukkah. Rabbi is Choshesh L'Misa. Rabbi does not. Problem is, it's not in line with the Mishnah of the wine. Where Rabbi Meir seems to be concerned about all kinds of unforeseen circumstances. Sorry, Rabbi Meir is not concerned about breakage, about losing your wine. He's not concerned about sudden breakage, sudden death. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who is concerned. It's exactly the opposite. It's their shittas in the reverse. Kashi de Rabbi Meir ad Rabbi Meir. Now we have a stira from one Rabbi on the other. By Sukkah is concerned about Misa of the Baal Chai, and by the Yain, he's not concerned about breakage. Omelot Chav Meir, there's a big difference between the two. Misa Shchicha, death is common. Everything dies eventually. So indeed, we're concerned about even a short-term death. Bekias Hanoid L'Shchicha. However, breakage of that container is not Shachiach. Efshar the muscle L'Shomer. Go ahead and give it to a Shomer to safeguard, to watch that Noid. That mitigates any concerns. So in theory, he holds of Misa being a concern, but not in the case of the wine, where it could be carefully watched and safeguarded. One more kasha. Kasha drabyuda drabyuda. What about that? Drabyuda and Sukkah is not concerned about Misa of the animal. You can use it as a doifen. When it comes to wine, don't get involved, because you might lose the wine before he actually gets to complete the process. That says the Gemara. That's not the pshat. Taimud Rabbi Yehuda lav mishum dechayish lepkias noid. The reason why Rabbi Yehuda doesn't allow the brera to be implemented is not based on a concern of losing your wine. of bekia, cracking of that noid, of that container, ela mishum de lesli brera. He doesn't hold a brera to begin with. That's all. You can't begin a process now, pending further completion. That's why it doesn't work. Says the Gemara, v'leichayesh Rabbi Yehuda l'bekias noid? Is that the pshat Rabbi Yehuda? It doesn't work on technical grounds, because brera is not a proper procedure. And it's not based on concerns of breakage and leakage. But Nitani is safe. Take a look at the second part of that braisa. Only the Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Shimon turn to Rabbi Meir and they say, look, how can you allow this process? Start truma now, pending further completion. Won't you agree that there's a concern? If that noid will crack and the wine will leak out, in which case he won't be able to complete this truma process. Vinim says, shoyisetvel mlafrei, it'll turn out this fellow is going to be over an issel. He'll have drunk tevel mlafrei because he'll never actually complete the process. Vamalu, shibaka, or may responds, but worry about it when it happens. Meaning, rachayshish. Michlal, it's pretty clear from that discussion, the chayish abidul b'kiyas amnoid. Then what is Rabbi's concern? Breakage, leakage. So how can you say otherwise? You tell me that Rabbi is not concerned about breakage, just as he's not concerned about sudden death. Rather, Rabbi doesn't allow this process on halachic grounds. Breira is not something that you can do. It's pretty clear from the discussion that his concern is breakage. As was the Gemara, no, he was only referring to Rabbi Meir. His words were stated in reference to Rabbi Meir's position. Hasan Rabbi Yehuda de Ka'amale Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda was simply turning to Rabbi Meir and speaking to him in his language. You know what? I don't allow this process at all because I don't hold a Breira. So that's off the table. I respect your opinion. You hold a Breira. Fine. I can't challenge you. I can't object on those grounds. But what about on technical grounds? On practical grounds. What about if the noid cracks and the water flow and the wine flows out? Why aren't you concerned about that? So Rabbi responds, you know what? We'll worry about it when it happens. Meaning, I'm not worried. You can place it in a safe place, have a shomer, keep an eye on it. I'm not chayshish for breakage or leakage. Okay, so let's just summarize our sugya. We started with the behema being used for a doifen, for a doifenless sukkah. Rabbi Meir says no. Rabbi Yehuda says yes. According to Abaye's approach, Rabbi Meir is concerned about misa, chayshinin la misa. Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned about sudden death. We had two mishnahs discussing the topic of a bas yisroel who was married to a kohen and her truma eating privileges. Mishnah 1, she could continue eating truma confidently, assuming that her husband's still alive. So we're not chayshish lemisa, that's Rabbi Yehuda's shita. In the second Mishnah, we have a concern that maybe there's going to be misa. She has to stop eating truma immediately, that is shita's Rabbi Meir. So that works. Rabbi Meir is chayshish lemisa, Rabbi Yehuda is not. What about the next discussion regarding being mafish truma de breira? Rabbi Meir says, go ahead and do it. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you can't do it. And the Gemara responds by saying that Rabbi Meir holds but not for begiyah sanoid, not concerned that this leather container will crack and the wine will leak out. It's not shchiach. Give it to a shomer. We'll keep an eye on it. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't allow the process, but not because it's chayshish for some breakage or leakage, rather on halachic grounds, less lebrera. And therefore this process doesn't work at all. Okay, let's do a quick chazar on today's daf. We start with the Mishnah. A sukkah on top of an agola or an asfina is kosher and in fact can be used on Yom Tov itself. However, the Gemara actually tells us it's totally on the shittos. Rabbi Kiva is the one who says it's kosher. Diras arai is sufficient. Whereas Rabbi Gamliel holds diras kvabinim. So a sukkah on a mobile, on an agola is no good. And likewise, a sukkah on a asfina, which the Gemara says is speaking where it cannot, withstand the common gust of wind found at sea. So it's not seaworthy, and therefore, according to Ram Galil, it's possible, it's not considered a diras kva. It doesn't conform to its current location and environment. We discussed a case where he put his sukkah on the animal. So the karka of the sukkah was on the animal. Rameya says it's fine. Rameya says it's possible because it needs to be a sukkah ru'uya le'shiva. And in this case, since the sukkah cannot be accessed on Shabbos or Yontif, you're not meant to use an animal on Shabbos or Yontif, so it's not a seven-day dwelling, and it's possible for sukkah use. Taisus learns that the sukkah was not actually placed on the animal itself, because in that case it would be a mobile sukkah, in which case, according to Rabbi, there's nothing to talk about. It's not a diras kva. Rather, Taisus says, was speaking that he actually placed the schach on separate independent supports. They're not going anywhere. So they're not mobile, they're kavua. But the karka of the sukkah was placed on the animal, so it's an accessibility issue, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, since it's not right for all 7 days, it's possible. Regarding using a behema simply as a doifen for your sukkah, Rameya says no, Rabbi says yes. We have two pshat and Rav Meir. Either we had Rav Zera because of escaping, Chosh Hashem Tivrach, which will not apply in the following case. If you have a behema, which is kshura, right, a tied up animal, it's not going anywhere, and you filled up the gaps between his legs with branches, you have a solid machitza, and he's being held up, suspended with ropes, he's not going anywhere. And when a chayshish for misa, so you can use it, according to your mayor, according to your abzera. In this case, you can use it even according to your mayor. Whereas according to Abayit, there's a chashash of misa in addition to escaping. In this case, as the Gemara, perhaps he's going to position his animal within three tefachim to the schach, and once there's misa, it's going to shrivel, and you're going to lose your machitza. Therefore, Abayit says, even in this case, your mayor would not allow using a behemah ledoifin. Now, regarding the pshat of the machlekes in Rameh and Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara concludes, Rameh is choshesh lamisa, Rabbi does not. That explains their machlekes regarding using a doifen for a sukkah, behem as a doifen. Regarding the Bas Yisrael, who would like to continue eating her truma, the Mishnah 1, which says you can continue, that's Rabbi Yehuda, v'nachosh lamisa. Mishnah 2, is Rameh was choshesh lamisa. There are another machlekes regarding using the Breira process for Truma Masters regarding that wine purchased from Kutim. The Gemara really says it's unrelated. Over there, Rameir allows, because not Choshesh, that the Noid will crack up and you lose your wine. So, not Choshesh for that. And Breira is a legal procedure which can be applied in this case. Would be the holds, no, I don't hold of Breira. Therefore, you cannot apply this procedure. And in addition to that, Rabbi Yehuda actually objected on other grounds as well. He says, look, Rav Meir, you hold a Breira, but in this case, what are the choshesh for practical concerns that the wine will not be in existence any longer after Shabbos? Rav Meir responds, don't worry about it, look, she'll be baka. We'll worry about it when it happens, meaning he'll make sure to keep it under wraps, keep it under guard, safe and secure, and there's no concern. Kol tov to you, and atzlacha rabbah.